There's a weekly movie and discussion forum that takes place at the Eric Martin Pavilion here in the Victoria area. Often discusses issues of mental health, mental illness, and people who deal with various mental issues and how they function and how they succeed, and basically just an open discussion dialogue. There is an interesting event that they have planned for this evening for the Movie Monday. They have a documentary about a man who has a very successful career in terms of making documentaries that are recognized with various awards. I want to welcome to the program here at CFAX 1070, a gentleman by the name of John Zaretsky. He is an Academy Award-winning Canadian documentarian with a reputation for tackling tough subjects. Tonight, he's a special guest at Movie Monday for the screening of a documentary about him, about his career, and about the filming of his new documentary about thalidomide, a documentary called John Zaretsky on TV. Sir, welcome to the program. How are you?
Thank you so much, Adam. I'm good.
I wanted to ask you, you worked as a newspaper reporter for 7 years. You won a newspaper award, a national newspaper award, I should say, back in 72, doing investigative reporting for the Globe and Mail. How did you move from print into documentary filmmaking, sir?
With great difficulty. Newspaper reporting is an individual sport. You just take a notepad and you go out and find your story and write it. All of a sudden, when I moved to television, I had a cameraman, a sound man, and egotistically, I had to make the adjustment from playing an individual sport to a team sport, because unless you have the best people working for you, it doesn't matter how good you are, you won't succeed.
Your films have been broadcast in 35 countries, screened at more than 40 film festivals, including Sundance, Toronto, Vancouver. You received an Academy Award in 1982 for your documentary, Just Another Missing Kid. You have received Cable Ace Awards, Golden Gavel Award from the American Bar Association for another documentary. You've received a Robert F. Kennedy Foundation Award, as well as other various accolades. Looking back on your career, sir, did you have any idea what you were getting into when you made the jump for print?
Not a bit. If somebody had told me that I was going to be as successful as I was, I would have told them they were crazy, because I really didn't know anything about television or film or anything else, and I had a steep learning curve. So, no, I didn't expect it at all.
Now, this evening's film screening is a documentary, but it is a documentary about you and your career. Now, sir, part of the documentary focuses on you being diagnosed with something called oppositional defiance disorder, how it was a difficulty for you, but it also helped your career. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I went to a clinic to see a therapist who specialized in neuron feedback. I walked into his office. He knew nothing about me other than I was a filmmaker, but he knew nothing about my history, period, psychologically, emotionally. And they mapped my brain. They measured the wavelengths, different wavelengths in my different parts of my brain for half an hour. And then this brilliant guy sat down and with complete accuracy told me everything that was wrong with me. And a long, long list, unfortunately. But included in the list was that he said, if you were a six-year-old, I'd be calling in your mother because you have a bad case of oppositional defiance disorder, which basically in children is, you know, the kid who says, I'm not going to do this and you can't make me and bugger you, which was exactly what I was like as a six-year-old, but continued basically that behavior with authority figures throughout my adult life. Explained to me that it caused me some great difficulties with authority figures. It was responsible for a large measure of my success. A lot of top executives have this precisely the same disorder. So he could, in a sense, cure me, but if he did, it might bugger up my chances of further success. So what did I want to do? So I decided I wanted to stay the miserable, anti-authority bastard I've always been.
Do you find that that drive, that need to sort of hold power accountable and defy power in general, gives you a drive that others might not have in your position?
I think so. I think that's really, in a sense, been responsible for a lot of my success, because I've said no when the authorities were saying yes. And in the case of the Academy Award film, I was working for Fifth Estate at the time, and they they had never done a film longer than 60 minutes. And I brought in this film that was 90 minutes. And they said, cut it to 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I won't cut it to 60 minutes. I'm not going to. It's got to be run at 90 minutes. And we stood eyeball to eyeball, the executive producer and I. And this went on for weeks. And finally, it went up to higher management. And they looked at the film and they said, no, he's right. It should get 90 minutes. So as a result of getting 90 minutes, the film went on, became very successful, and won an Academy Award. So if I hadn't stood my ground, as I said, been oppositional and defiant, would never have happened.
You know, in terms of settling an argument, getting an Oscar is a pretty good way to do it, gotta say. Our guest is the special guest of honor this evening, actually, for the screening of a documentary about him and his career. He was diagnosed with oppositional defiance disorder. Yes, it has made his life challenging at times. It has also given him, though, the ability to speak truth to power in a way that others might find exceedingly difficult, as he put together documentaries on a number of issues, including one that won an Academy Award. Want to ask our guest, John Zaritsky, about the documentary that he put together. In fact, there was multiple ones, if I'm not mistaken, about the very controversial topic of thalidomide. Give us the story, sir.
Well, this is the third film in 30 years, over a 30-year period, that I've done on thalidomide and thalidomide victims. And I've been so engrossed in this subject because it's a story that kept getting better and better. And the reason I returned to do a third film was that it was revealed that the manufacturers of the drug, the inventors of the drug, were Nazi war criminals who knew months before they even put it on the market that it would cause deformities, and yet they went ahead and made millions off the drug, but created the biggest drug scandal in history and left thousands of children around the world badly disabled, some born without arms, some without legs.
And just for our audience that might not be aware of the specific pattern of physical deformities that followed the use of thalidomide with pregnant mothers, and then when they would give birth to their babies, the individuals would, in many cases, be born. They'd still have limbs, but they wouldn't have the long part of the limb. It would be just a shoulder joint that just goes right to a hand or maybe some fingers. It was a very curious deformity, and I still remember actually reading through the press reports when these started to come in, and nobody was sure why we suddenly saw these until then. Exceedingly uncommon deformities, and it turned out that, as our guest mentioned, it was the use of this drug that was approved by Health Canada, that was sold legally here in Canada to prevent morning sickness, and the cost, the side effect, was life-altering physical deformity for the little babies. It was just heartbreaking.
It was indeed. There were over 100 thalidomide babies born in Canada, been able to stay in touch with a number of them, and two of who appeared in my first film also appeared in the second film, and now they're in the third film. So you see them as kids, not kids, but young adults in their mid-20s, and then turning 40, and now they're in their 50s. So it's a nice progression there.
I have to ask you about being the subject of a documentary film. You yourself are a documentary filmmaker. You've been making these films for decades. What was it like to be on the other side of the camera and watching the process that you've seen unfold so many times before, but instead of yourself being in charge, you're suddenly the focus of the attention? What was that like?
Scary as hell.
I bet. I do interviews like this for a living, right? And every so often somebody interviews me, and it's really weird to watch things happen from the other side where suddenly you're not the one making the calls and in control. It's very disconcerting.
I had never appeared in front of the camera previously throughout my entire career. Very, very occasionally you might hear me asking a question, but you wouldn't see me. And so I was, as I say, dragged, kicking, and screaming in front of the camera, and only did it as a favor to a friend of mine, a DOP, who had shot a number of films for me in a very, very difficult situation. So I felt I owed it to him, and which was ultimately why I agreed to do it.
I was going
to
ask, how did they talk you into this? But you've answered the question, so there we go.
Well, they plied me with good food and wine on a couple of occasions. That usually can persuade me.
Looking back at your career now, John Zaritsky, would you be able to pick a favorite documentary? Like this, like I love all my children equally, but this one is my favorite if you privately ask me.
Well, you know, it is extremely difficult. As you suggest, they are all my children. And couple of years ago, Hot Docs, the big film festival in Toronto, decided they would do a retrospective of my work, but they would show, as the retrospective, four of my films. And they chose the films, but they did ask me which four I would choose. And I had a terrible time even trying to figure out which four I could suggest. But narrowing it down to one is almost impossible for me. But surprisingly, the one thing I did ask them to do was not to include the Academy Awards film.
Why is that?
Because this is one of my least favorite films, actually. And if anything, I've done better films since then and deserved an Academy Award more for other films than the one I won. But it was a matter of timing and being in the right place at the right time with the right subject, which resulted in my victory.
It is interesting, and I know I don't want to get too far off topic here, but I think we can all be honest that there is a great deal of politics that goes into what films get Academy Awards and which ones don't.
Absolutely. This film, as the title suggests, was about a missing boy, a kid who was 19 from Ottawa on his way to summer school in Colorado, mm-hmm. and just disappeared off the face of the map. And at that time, missing children, nobody knew about missing children. And there weren't organizations devoted to missing children. They weren't on the sides of buses, and they weren't on the sides of milk cartons. But as a result of this film and a number of other films, the issue got to be known, and things started to happen. But it was like Hollywood discovered missing children. And as a result, they went on to make a number of movies about missing children, initiated because of my film in the first instance. The other reason I won, and I don't mean to denigrate it so much, but I was also one of the first documentary filmmakers to use recreations, which were very, very new and very, very controversial at the time. But Hollywood loved them because, as they said, oh, it's not just a boring documentary. It looks like a movie.
Yeah, they cared about the cinematography and not the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. John Zaritsky is joining us. He's a Canadian documentary filmmaker. He's the guest of honor at the Movie Monday event tonight at the Eric Martin Pavilion. They will be screening a documentary about our guest. Yes, it's a documentary put together about a gentleman who makes documentaries and has received more than 40 awards throughout his career. This evening's documentary is called John Zaritsky on TV. Sir, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. I want to go back to I know I asked you what your favorite was, and you know, no parent can pick a favorite child. Fair enough. Every single parent I know, if you say, what was your most difficult child? They know. They don't even have to think about it. What was the hardest project that you put together in your career, sir?
I guess the hardest would be Romeo and Juliet in Sarajevo, because we went there during the war when Sarajevo was in the most dangerous place for journalists and filmmakers. The story also occurred on both sides of the war, so we had to go back and forth between enemies shooting at each other. And logistically, it was very, very difficult and very, very dangerous. And I couldn't have done it without the greatest fixer in the world. And a guy became one of my closest friends and kept me alive in Sarajevo, a guy called Sorky, Zoran Stevanovich. It's his full appellation.
And just for our audience's information, you won an Alfred DuPont Award from Columbia University School of Journalism in 1994 for that film, Romeo and Juliet in Sarajevo. Sir, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We're almost out of time for now. You'll be the guest of honor at the Eric Martin Pavilion this evening. Any final thoughts for now?
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. I have been at the same event a few years ago with another film, a musical comedy I did on dying, and the crowd loved it, and I'm hoping they'll enjoy this film too.
John Zaritsky, thank you for your time today, sir.